If you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go? Nowhere. I'm here, I'm happy. There's nowhere to go. Really? Because people want to go on trips, right? Don't you go on holidays? But I think every day is a holy day. Why is it holy? It's holy because it's here. It's now, it's what we have. And I'm interested in investigating what's holy rather than creating some conditions that feel very nice, but they're never completely very nice. There's always something you want to get on an airplane. It's very complicated, isn't it? You have to stand in line for hours, perhaps, or days, and drag around some luggage, and travel with some form of transportation that is possibly safe, possibly not. But we have our own transportation here and now, this body and this mind. And for me, to be able to travel in this, in the best way possible, is the project. And so far, anything else is just a distraction. There is no holiday. It's just a temporary escape or change conditions. But it doesn't change the real condition which we're kind of faced with all the time. The condition of the mind. What if somebody speaks to us in a way that we feel is hurtful? Even if you drive in your car, somebody could meet you in traffic and say something not nice because they didn't like the way you passed or the way you drive. Or just coming back from Perth yesterday, somebody was passing us in a very dangerous way. And so the driver of the car had to almost stop, not to crash. So to be able to keep the mind safe, secure from fear, from anger, from irritation, from impatience, from judging, from wanting, not to crash. To me, that's being in the safe lane, really. Because life is full of crash points. And there is no perfect life, is there? This life that we live here, you can see there's a lot of change going on. And it really does impact us deeply, visually, and not so much yet. This is all about the future. Right now, it doesn't give us much, except an idea. Oh, something's going to happen, maybe. Who knows? Uncertain. It's all uncertain. And the past doesn't exist anymore. It's just a memory. That was another question that I was asked. Do you have some good memories? I said, yeah, sure. And that led into, don't you want to repeat that? But you can't. You can't repeat your memories. So the strength that we have with all of the conditions of life, whatever is arising in your field of view or what you hear, who you live with yourself, with your mind. The most important feature of the mind is to be present and to be aware of what we're experiencing right now. So we can do that for 5 minutes, 45 minutes. We can sit and be aware. Were there any moments when there was no awareness? Present awareness. We can be aware of the past that's thinking, past and future thinking. Even thinking about right now, I like it, I don't like it, judging, having opinions. But our wonderful teachers, advice that we get from the ancients is to practice this quality of pure awareness, where the mind is able to be present without opinions, good or bad, and to trust that this quality of awareness for us is a gift. If it develops to a great strength, then whatever is happening to us, it would be possible for us to face that without fear, without anger, without worry, without hatred, with kindness, with a peaceful mind. Do you remember not long ago, those Buddhist monks walked for peace? They went for a very long walk for peace. The head monk spoke quite a lot about peace now. This is going to be my peaceful day. But how do we make this day peaceful? Well, a day is made up of hours, and an hour is made up of moments. And a moment is made up of seconds. So if we learn to practice this awareness for a few seconds, for a few moments, for many moments, it gets harder and harder to be seamlessly aware. And then we can contemplate, what is the purpose of this awareness? Well, the awareness is really knowing the condition of things just as they are, whether we like them or not. If the sound is too loud, we can soften it artificially. But what if it's a loud memory? How do you soften a loud memory? How do you bring it to quiet when it's unpleasant? When it's pleasant, you want to keep it going. But if it's too loud and it's unpleasant, how do we turn that off? Or how do we make peace with it? We can't turn it off. It keeps repeating. So the listening, the awareness of listening, and being able to be with the thought and see, is it permanent or impermanent actually? So this brings us to the value of medicine when we're in pain, to relieve the pain. And the medicine that I've been learning is meditation. And meditation has, the beginning of it is meditation. It's not med irritation, it's meditation. To meditate really is about focusing, about bringing our attention to the present moment. So it's really like there's a builder of buildings, and then we are builders of meditation. So we're learning and practicing how to be in the present moment more and more and more. What is the medicine in that? The medicine in that is that it helps us to understand how the mind works, Because the mind is like a puppy dog. It just wants to travel, restless. And we learn the skill of being present and being aware. And the value of being aware is that it helps us to get a footing in this moment, rather than wishing things would change. One of the most important moments of my life was when I learned how to study the pain in my body. And I didn't want to study it, but this was the advice that I was given, that if you have a painful sensation in your body, you should notice the pain and try to keep focusing your attention on that painful feeling. So life is full of opposites. There's colors, and there are things that are colorless. There are forms, and there are things without form. There is space that is full, and space that is empty. There is sound that is loud, and there is silence, which is quiet. When the mind is loud, it is very difficult for us to be with that loudness. What is it that causes a lot of sound, a lot of noise, a lot of disturbance in the mind? Is pain. So we try to create a life that is free of pain. But in fact, as long as we have these bodies that are full of sensation, there's a lot that we feel, and we feel pain. Even I like to sew, I have a shaky hand now, so I often, you know, the needle often goes into the finger and it hurts. So I get a lot of, this is just little pain, but it's not pleasant. So even with the smallest pain, we get an unpleasant feeling. And if we notice the unpleasant feeling in the mind and study it, the interesting thing is, and I remember studying the pain in the knee and realizing that after a while, that painful feeling is not solid. It's not what I thought it was. I thought it was a pain here, but I began to notice that it, when you study it and watch it, again and again for a whole hour, you're watching the pain in your knee. And the only way that I was able to watch it was because I began to notice that this pain was not solid. It wasn't one thing. It was full of molecules. It had a substance, a content. And it became not in one place, it moved, it was impermanent. There was nothing in it that I could call pain. Then if you study the feeling in the body, it's the same. If you stay with a painful feeling, it's the same as a memory of that, wherever it is. It could be in your head. It could be a feeling that's based on a thought. And then if we look carefully at what is the origin of this disturbance in the mind, we realize that it's a value judgment. We have an opinion about what we're feeling, what we're thinking. Then if we go into the thinking mind and look for the origin of that pain, we see that the thoughts are empty. They're arising and ceasing moment to moment. There is nothing disturbing there except our opinion. Then we begin to notice that even our opinion is impermanent. it comes up, then it's gone. If you study your opinion about someone, you try to focus on that for a long time. Eventually you might realize, well, that person has a body. You know, we have this solid person, we have an opinion about this person. They have a body, they are born and they die, they get old, they get sick and expire. We begin to realize we're all the same. We're all the same. Somebody might have a bad opinion about me, but who is the me and who is that? Who is that? Who are we? What are we truly? Fundamentally, we are human beings. And there's something very special about being a human being. That we have these abilities to pay attention, to be present, and to know how pain arises and ceases. So the unpleasant feelings arise and cease because we were born into these bodies which also arise and cease. So everything is impermanent. So we begin to realize that fundamentally this whole creation is constantly changing. It's not permanent. Look, it was spring, the birds are all excited, the creatures are running around. There's a lot happening. The buds on the trees are just bursting. They're about to come out. And then we'd have a memory of November, when it all goes to sleep and it dies. But we don't want it to change. What we're actually fighting is our lack of control, our inability to control the present moment, whether it's pain in the body or the changing of the seasons. We want things to be the way we want them. We want people to be the way we want them. Doesn't this sound a bit like history? If you study history, it's all about how things change. And they all arise and cease. Every empire, British Empire, Roman Empire, all the empires that ever existed, the rich man, the poor man, rich, poor, born, nothing, born with nothing. Then you get older, 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 eventually some people have a lot of money, some don't. But eventually everyone loses it all and we all die. But then, what doesn't die? What is it that doesn't die? So that's what we have to study. Because everything else we have to let go of. One day, one way. Bodies, opinions, each other. But what doesn't die is this awareness of our experience. All of that is the same. If you remember when you were a kid, what was that like? Who was aware? What was that awareness then? Is it the same or is it different? We don't have to answer that, but we just have to realize that we have this ability to be aware of change. But we can't stop old age, sickness, and death. We can read history till the cows come home, but the cows will never come home, because home is not in what will happen. The only true home that we have is the present moment. And if we gather together those moments of awareness, we begin to see that there's no one there. There is no solid being. This is a realization. The animals cannot reflect like we do. Human being is special because we're able to be aware and we're able to love unconditionally. That unconditional love doesn't die. It is ever present. It doesn't belong to us. It doesn't belong to anyone. We are all connected in that. This is a very miraculous pondering. The more we ponder that, the less we become obsessed with our own predicament, our own pain, our own frustrations, our likes and dislikes, because everything has an opposite. But there is that which is unconditioned, and it accepts everything. It doesn't choose. The criminal, the good guy, all are able to know this love. It reminds me of that there was a visitor at one of the monasteries years ago. He was in jail, but the abbot came to visit him. And he was accused of a crime which he claimed he didn't commit. It was involved in someone that was killed during a robbery. And he was tried and convicted, and he was put to death. But he would get visited by this wonderful monk who he learned how to meditate, and he was a very good prisoner. And they appealed his case, and it didn't succeed. But before he died, the abbot would go and visit him, counsel him. And he was a good meditator, and he was a poet too. I can't remember his name now. After he passed, the abbot went to see the body, and they didn't want to show it to him. It was in a zipper bag. At the end, they said, okay. And they unzipped his face, and this man that was dead had a smile on his face. And so he died in peace. He left his body in peace. So the peace of death is the understanding of anicca. When someone can die with a mind that is peaceful like that, there's that ineffable joy of knowing impermanence. If we can know that quality of impermanence and the emptiness of this form of any solid being, there is no one. We are all just present moment appearances, a set of appearances. But what we all share is this awareness. It's unconditioned. It doesn't belong to any of us, but we share it. And I think what the astronauts realized, or one of them must have realized when he was in outer space, was that we all share space. And how precious the Earth is, because there are all these beings on Earth, they're not in outer space. But to be able to return to this place where there were other human beings to share this space. So there's the ability to continue to live with this knowledge of unconditional love. If we share that, then there are no countries, there are no boundaries. There's no you and no me. There's no fighting. There's no division. There's just present moment awareness. Even if we're in a lot of pain, we may not be able to abandon the pain, like heal it or stop it. but we can be aware of it. And if we can be aware of pain, then we're at peace with that. Even if we die, we can die in freedom. I remember as a young woman visiting a dear friend of mine who was in the hospital and she was dying. And I really felt for her because I didn't want her to die. And I thought death would be not nice. But she wasn't scared at all. She had no fear of death. And it really hit me so hard. How can I get to that? How can I not be afraid of death? And of course, she died. I cried. And I thought how she went fearlessly. How can I live without fear? It's very difficult. We're afraid of the slightest thing. A traffic jam. I lost my favorite book. So many levels of fear that we suffer every day, not being able to eat the food that we want, having a tummy ache because we ate the food that wasn't good. There's the fear, the anger, the hurt, the ego that it's all wrapped up in. How do we unravel that so that we can live fearlessly? That's peace. But we want peace within us. But it's not so easy to come to that peace. But there is that awareness of non-peace, the awareness of suffering, and that it's impermanent. Then we make peace with that which is not peaceful. So if we didn't have the not peaceful, if we didn't have the suffering, we would never reflect like this. We would just live and die in ignorance. We would never wake up to the real peace. So if we reflect like this, we make peace with knowing things just as they are. And we